prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We're starting the week off with a great show, a really important show. During the first hour, we're going to be talking about the effects of replacing animal protein with plant protein on glycemic control in diabetes. Then at the top of the second hour, we're going to talk about the connection between excess iron and Parkinson's disease. Two really, really important discussions. Of course, always remember that Superhuman Radio is made possible through a special grant through All-American EFX Sports and All-American Pharmaceuticals, their parent company. You can go to superhumanradio.com and click any one of the numerous banner ads there to learn more about their products. Don't forget, Dr. Jeff Galini is a regular host on the show, and he is able to answer your questions. We have a little banner on the website that says Ask the Scientist. You can submit your questions there, or you can say, hey, Dr. Jeff, send me some free stuff. He loves sending people free stuff. And don't forget to include your mailing address if you ask for something free. Okay, let's get started. Welcome to the show. My first guest is Effie, and it's Vigulik. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic, fantastic. Now, you are affiliated with what facility in Canada?
So I am affiliated with the University of Toronto, specifically the Department of Nutritional Sciences, as well as St. Michael's Hospital, which is located in downtown Toronto, within the clinic called the Clinical Nutrition and Risk Factor Modification Center.
Okay, okay. And your group recently published a study looking at if you replace animal protein with plant protein in the diet of a diabetic, what effects it has on glycemic control. What made you look at this research? Why did you want to answer these questions?
Well, I looked at this question during my master's. Initially, when I was starting, I was really interested in how nutrition can be used to address two major issues in the world today, which is the rising prevalence of diabetes and environmental sustainability. So for my thesis, I specifically looked at this question, which is replacing animal protein sources such as red meat, dairy, eggs, fish with plant protein sources such as beans, nuts, soy products, and how that affects glycemic control, specifically people with diabetes. There was a lot of studies that have been published in the past showing that vegetarian diets, vegan diets, are beneficial for a number of different health outcomes. Especially we've seen it in lowering diabetes risk as well as lowering glycemic control. And given that plant protein sources are such a large component of these diets, we wanted to specifically look at this question. In addition, we've also seen studies in the scientific literature showing that consumption of meat increases the risk of diabetes, specifically red meat. So this was a very area that was very interesting for us, and we really wanted to address it using this specific question.
Okay. So talk about your research. How was this study designed?
So we did a systematic review and meta-analysis of randomized controlled trials. So what that means is that we basically go into the scientific literature and we systematically search for studies that answered this specific question. They were designed to look at the effect of replacing animal protein sources with plant protein sources. So we basically come up with a list of search terms and we go into three or four different databases. So in this study, we went into three different databases, and we also did manual searches to find every single study that addressed this question. And in the end, we found around 13 randomized controlled trials. and they had to, and so they met our eligibility criteria for this meta-analysis. So it had to be conducted in people with diabetes, it had to be greater than 3 weeks, et cetera, et cetera. And so once we have all the studies that meet the eligibility criteria, we start extracting the relevant data. So in this case, it was markers of glycemic control. So this was hemoglobin A1C, fasting glucose, and fasting insulin. Mm-hmm. We start extracting this data, and then we do different types of statistical analyses that allow us to find an overall pooled estimate. So that's the meta-analysis portion. So that's how the study is designed. I guess for those people who are not sure what a systematic review and meta-analysis is, that's what it is in a nutshell.
Now, did any of the studies that made it into your 13 RCTs that you selected actually show contrary to what you were showing? In other words, were any of them studies that showed that that it, substituting red meat with plant protein did not have any type of dramatic effect on blood glucose control?
There was a few. Like they all seem to be going in the direction of lowering, but whether it was a statistically significant reduction mm-hmm. in markers of glycemic control, there were quite a few studies that did not show a significant reduction, but majority of the studies, I would say almost all of them, were going in the direction of lowering markers of glycemic control.
Okay. And so what did you learn from this review when you started to extrapolate the numbers?
So after doing the entire study, what we found was that there was a significant but modest lowering in all three markers that we looked at. So significant but modest lowering in hemoglobin A1C, fasting glucose, and fasting insulin in both people with type 2 and type 1 diabetes.
Who shifted away from animal protein and included plant protein.
Yes, so it was either a partial replacement, so they either partially replaced some of their animal protein sources with plant protein sources, or they replaced all of them. But there was not many studies that replaced a full replacement.
Okay, and did you control for other things? And obviously, I'm assuming that these studies that you used, these 13 RCTs, were perhaps diary-driven, where people were forced to keep diaries or recollect what they had eaten in the past months, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Not all of them, but some of them did. Yep.
Okay. And so, in those diaries, did you also see a change in carbohydrate consumption in the groups that were asked to eat more plant protein? And I have a reason for asking this. I'll say why in a second.
Yeah, I see where you're going with that. When you compare, like, the macronutrient breakdowns of the intervention, which was replacing animal with plant protein, and you look at the macronutrient breakdown of the diet of people in the control where they didn't do this replacement, mm-hmm. they're actually fairly similar. So the percentage of calories coming from protein, from carbs, and from fat are pretty much similar. There may be maybe like a 2% difference across them. Yeah. So I wouldn't say there's any significant difference in carbs, but I see where you're going with that question.
Well, only because carbohydrate consumption is a greater effector of blood glucose and insulin response than the saturated fat found in animal protein that is supposedly the cause of a spike of glucose, well, insulin, actually. And so I often, whenever I hear these types of studies or even mm-hmm. epidemiological studies where they ask large numbers of people to answer questions, I find two confounding things happen. Number one, people tend to underreport what they perceive as unwanted or risky behavior, and they overreport what they perceive as wanted or beneficial behavior. And that's just human nature. And there's no way to really screen for that. But the other thing is when you take a person and say, hey, I don't want you to eat meat anymore. And then the other thing is meat is this huge expanse from bologna all the way on the left to lean cuts of grass-fed beef all the way on the right. You know, the other thing is that when you tell people, hey, I don't want you to eat meat, I want you to get your protein from plant sources.
Right.
A lot of times they also end up excluding the bun on the hamburger or the sandwich on, you know, the bread on the sandwich or the rice that goes along with their, you know, whatever. And so a lot of times the carbohydrate consumption also gets shifted a little bit too. That's why I was curious if you looked at that.
Right. No, in this case, like those were the designs of the studies. I personally didn't conduct them, so I can't say how accurately people reported the things that they were consuming during the duration of the study that they were doing at the time.
Right.
I know those are some limitations overall in nutritional studies that, you know, people can over under report or not accurately fill out food diaries that they are asked to fill out. So that is definitely a limitation, and that is something to be mindful of when you are looking at studies conducted in nutrition or even in this meta-analysis. That's something important to consider as well. But I personally, I wouldn't know just because I didn't conduct these studies.
Right.
Or I wasn't involved in conducting these studies. So I'm not sure how accurately people did fill them out. I know in our clinic when we conduct randomized controlled trials, we give people a scale for them to take home, so they actually have to weigh all of their food and record it in the food diary. I know there's a lot of other strategies that have been developed to maybe make it easier for people to estimate how much that they're eating,
right,
such as taking pictures of their food or having pictures that they can compare the amount that they're eating to the picture that's provided for them. Those aren't things that we do in our clinic, but I know those things are also are being used in other studies.
Right, right. And obviously the goal of this study was to see if there was some sort of a trend, obviously. So let's do this.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we have lots more questions. We're going to learn more about the differences between blood glucose effects of plant proteins versus animal proteins. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The category killer is back. Mass Pro Synthogen, with results literally from workout one. You'll recover like you're a teenager again. If you've been pouring your heart out in the gym with little to nothing to show for it, you owe it to yourself to see the performance-enhancing and cosmetic effects it can make almost immediately. One user said, I wish I could have tried it sooner. I just ordered two more bottles. And another, the overall single best bodybuilding supplement I have personally ever used. Visit CoachRobRegis.com or PredatorNutrition.com to learn more today. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need Metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
We're talking with Epi Vigulik. We're talking about the effects of exchanging animal protein with replacing animal protein with plant protein and its effect on glycemic control and insulin. So, how significant was the glycemic control effect of replacing the animal protein with plant protein?
So I would say it's a modest reduction. So currently, the U.S. FDA proposes a 0.3 reduction in hemoglobin A1C, 0.3% reduction in hemoglobin A1C for the development of new drugs. In our study, we saw a 0.15 reduction in hemoglobin A1C. So the results may or may not be clinically significant. So overall, I would say the results of the study showed a modest decrease.
Now, do you have any ideas of the mechanism that this decrease occurs in the plant protein as opposed to the animal protein?
Yeah, so there are a few mechanisms that we thought about. The first one was not in any particular order, but we did think about iron. Iron is higher, so there's two different types of iron found in foods, and there's non-heme iron and there's heme iron. Heme iron is only found in animal protein products, whereas non-heme as well as heme are found in plant. That's the other way around. Non-heme is found only in plant,
right,
whereas non-heme and heme is found in animal. So I mixed that up.
But it's the hemi-iron that is the most bioavailable. We've actually talked about that on the show.
Exactly. It's the most bioavailable. And so what we've seen in the literature and what we know about iron, it's a pro-oxidant, so it can catalyze a bunch of cellular reactions in the body that can lead to an increase in oxidative stress, and that can cause damage to different tissues, including the pancreas and the pancreatic beta cells, which secrete insulin. And so there have also been studies showing that increases in heme iron can increase the risk of diabetes. So we think that it may be something to do with the heme iron, the fact that it is more bioavailable and it's only found in animal protein products. So we think that is one mechanism of action potentially. And feel free to jump in to ask questions. Well, because I might be leaving out some important information.
So that speaks to red meat exclusively. That doesn't really speak to, you know, a chicken breast. It doesn't speak to so much to egg, or even cottage cheese or dairy. But red meat, clearly, you're right. You know, the hemiiron in red meat is superior for anyone trying to, for whatever reason, raise their iron levels. So, but you
look. Well, I would say heme iron is found not just in red meat. It's found in a wide range of animal products.
Okay. And I agree. I mean, I'm saying there's just a lot less in things like eggs and chicken breast, for instance. But okay. What about the fiber? Could that explain why we saw this modest change in blood sugar control in those who shifted away from animal protein?
That could be because plant protein or plant sources of plant protein, such as beans and lentils and soy, they are naturally higher in fiber. So that could be a potential reason. In our meta-analysis, we actually do something called subgroup analyses. So what we essentially do is we break up studies into different groups. So, for example, we could break up studies that where they consumed more than a certain amount of fiber versus less than a certain amount of fiber and see whether there are specific differences between the two groups in glycemic control. And so when we looked at a subgroup that looked at differences in fiber between the intervention and control groups, we didn't see any differences, but that is also because we didn't have a lot of studies in this meta-analysis, which is a limitation of our study. But yeah, fiber could potentially be another thing that may be driving this effect.
I have a theory. Want to hear it?
Sure.
Okay. Animal protein is superior because it's complete. It's considered a complete protein, but more importantly, because it has higher levels of leucine than plant protein, except some soy. I guess there's some soybeans out there that are competitive with animal protein today in that area. However,
sorry, could you repeat that again?
Animal protein has higher levels of leucine per serving, let's say, comparative to plant-based proteins, and leucine increases mTOR. Leucine also has a direct acute effect on insulin production. It can actually cause insulin to be produced. This is why a lot of diabetics may find favor with the drinking a whey protein drink with a meal, because they'll get a better insulinogenic response from that meal. But there's another aspect to having high levels of leucine, and that is that it stimulates the changes from glutamate to glutamine, and glutamine is a highly glucogenic amino acid. It can be turned into glucose spontaneously in the liver. And so I would submit that these incomplete proteins or less than desirable proteins just don't stimulate the insulin and or gluconeogenic response that animal proteins do.
Okay, that's a very interesting mechanism that you've proposed. I haven't come across it in the literature. I've come across, you know, branched-chain amino acids and arginine, but that's definitely an interesting point that you bring up and definitely something that I would want to look into.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We've got lots more questions. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date. Now available in two great tasting flavors, tropic fruit and raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today. The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
From the makers of GLC 2000, now comes Actistatin Pro Athlete. The Actistatin formula gives you all four forms of glucosamine and chondroitin, plus Actistatin's triple patented delivery method to optimize cellular uptake and utilization of glucosamines, chondroitin, ascorbate, and manganese. Regenerate and maintain cartilage. Promote joint mobility and flexibility. Replenish lost collagen. Get 20% off your next order using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the GLC banner ad today. Push the limits. Feel the difference with Actistatin.
Not all so-called deodorants are the same. Only Goodness Inside deodorant is a multi-benefit deodorant that's not only free of aluminum and toxins, but provides the body with nutrients it needs, like magnesium, pure dead sea salts, minerals, and vitamins.
I am a big fan of Only Goodness Inside, the MGDO Healthy Deodorant. I'm a businesswoman. I have to dress up at work. It goes on smooth, it dries quickly, and it never gets on my clothes.
Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Only Goodness Inside banner ad to save 25% off your order today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Too much on your mind to fall asleep?
Oh no.
It happens to all of us every now and then. Instead of counting sheep, count Sleep Factors, a naturopathic formulated blend that supports falling asleep naturally. No medicated numbing, no harsh interruptions of your body's natural flow. Sleep Factors work in harmony with your body and its natural rhythms, so sleep just happens naturally. Sleep Factors by Michael's Naturopathic Programs. You can find Sleep Factors and Michael's entire line of body-loving naturopathic formulations at your local health food store or online at michaelshealth.com. Practitioner formulated. Practitioner approved.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. Okay. We're talking with Effie Vigulik. We're talking about replacing your animal proteins with plant-based proteins if you are diabetic. This could have a great benefit. And let's face it, everyone needs to eat more vegetables, green leafy vegetables, different colored vegetables. I mean, it makes perfect sense. I think that there's a wide expanse of the difference in what is considered meat today. That has to be investigated as well at some point in time, and the effects on glycemic control and insulin response. But with that being said, so what's next? What do you see next? Now you've kind of seen a trend here. What do you do next to try to test this theory?
First, I think we need better design trials. I think we need really large trials that are designed properly to look at this question. A lot of the studies that are out there, they have quite a few limitations in them. For example, some of them are, you know, they're less than 12 weeks. You need at least 12 weeks to detect any changes in hemoglobin A1C, because hemoglobin A1C basically reflects blood glucose control in the preceding 3 months. So if a study is less than 12 weeks in duration, then, you know, we might not be capturing the effect that it has. So that's one thing. That's one of the limitations of a lot of the studies that were included in this meta-analysis.
Right.
A lot of them were also had very small sample sizes. So there was less than 20 people in a lot of these studies. I really think we need large trials with hundreds and thousands of people to really be able to get an accurate estimate of what may be going on here.
Right.
So I think that definitely is one of the next steps in looking at this area. I think also we need to look at different types of animal protein and different types of plant protein and doing specific replacements.
Yes.
Because I don't think it would be, I wouldn't say it's all animal protein. I think there's a lot of signals from the literature showing, you know, not so great effects with red meat. So I think in order to be able to better understand this replacement, I think we need to do specific swaps between specific types of animal protein sources and specific types of plant protein sources to really better understand what is going on here.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, red meat gets a real hard time today, but what people consider red meat and what is truly red meat are very, very different things. You know, if someone is buying some sort of processed, chopped, flaked, and formed cake of meat that happens to be made of beef but has loads of other stuff in it, nitrates, nitrites,
yep,
sodium, God knows what other additives to hold it together.
Yeah.
And then, you know, because this is something that happened recently. So the American government came out and said, you know, red meat is linked to cancer. But what they looked at wasn't like, people weren't eating, you know, steaks from grass-fed cows or even steaks. They weren't even eating, you know, they were eating processed meats and they were calling that red meat. And that's, to me, that's unforgivable because that is not red meat anymore, than Chico sticks or chicken. You know, it's like, It's bouillon. It's monosodium glutamate and it's a little chicken fat and that's not chicken. So, I think that the challenges today for those who are studying nutrition is to tease out and isolate the foods specifically to look so that we don't have this blanket statement like, oh, well, you know, all red meat is bad for you. I don't think that's accurate, to be honest with you.
No, I would definitely not make such a, like, a generalization. That's definitely, yeah, I agree with you in that sense. I wouldn't generalize it to that degree. Yeah, and I agree. There's a lot of additives in these meat products, like you mentioned, nitrates, and those have been shown to have some sort of negative effects on various health outcomes, including glycemic control. So there's a lot of things to consider when we are looking at this question and trying to understand the effect of making this replacement. Ultimately, I think people should be aware of what they are eating.
Right.
And yeah, they should be reading the labels and really trying to understand what is in this food.
And I also think that when people go to, when you say, okay, we want you to eat more plant-based proteins, right? We're talking about lentils, we're talking about legumes. People start cooking, they start cooking on their own. You know, it's like you don't go out and get a bean salad at the grocery store. You think, oh, I'm going to make some lentil soup tonight and eat on that tonight. So all of a sudden, there's a totally, another shift that occurs that is completely ignored, but may have a greater impact on the outcome
than the actual foods themselves. Is that is that people start cooking at home, they start knowing what's in their food. They start, you know, you don't have all the chemistry going on when you cook at home, and it's really hard to tease that out of the equation.
Definitely, I think there's so many things that you can consider, and I personally think it's like all of these collective things that are adding to this effect. I can't say 100% I'm confident that it's just the protein for protein swap, even though the amino acid profile of plant protein sources is different from animal protein sources. I think it's all of these things collectively, like you mentioned before, like the higher fiber and the less additives that we're talking about now, and people cooking on their own and not buying things that have been processed. Right. I think it's all of these things collectively that when people choose to eat more plant protein sources, all of these things are coming with that.
You know, we've done several shows on various dietary templates. And we've talked about, you know, vegan diets. We've talked about lacto-ovo vegetarian diets, which are really good diets. I mean, you look at, there's several long-lived populations around the world that are lacto-ovo vegetarians.
Yep.
And so, and almost exclusively, whenever we start talking about the vegan diet, what becomes so obvious to me when someone talks about, well, I'm going vegan, their complete diet gets an overhaul. It's not just the inclusion of all of these wonderful plant sources of food that they're eating, but it's the exclusion of all the crap they were eating the day before they started going vegan.
Yeah.
And it's real hard to say which is causing the beneficial effect at that point, at that moment in time.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I mean, they're making a change, and it's a huge change in their diet, and it's not just choosing these specific sources, but, you know, like you said, omitting certain things that they were eating before. I think there's so many different things to consider in this question that we could probably go on and on for hours.
So what do you hope both clinicians and lay people take away from your research?
There's actually a lot of things I hope people can take away from my research. Number one is to do more research in this area, but for clinicians specifically, I know there have been studies out there about, you know, the awareness and perception of plant-based diets for treating and managing type 2 diabetes, and it's actually been shown that clinicians, although they are aware of the benefits of plant-based diets, there's actually a very low implementation of plant-based diets. And so I think there's definitely room to include that as part of the standard therapy. Like the effects that we saw in our meta-analysis, these were in addition to patients taking blood sugar-lowering medications. So I definitely think it's one way that they can help someone modify their diet. I'm not saying it's the only way, but it's definitely a strategy that they can consider combining with the standard therapy that they already use for helping people manage their diabetes.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. I think that especially diabetics need to be eating more plant sources of food. It's very, very important. There's no doubt about it. So I want to thank you.
That's for clinicians. But I do have more information that I'd like to share also that I hope the lay population takes away as well. Is it okay if I
mention
that now?
Yes, of course. Please.
When I was doing this research, a lot of what I came across is that in the North American population as well as in the European population, consumption of plant protein sources such as the ones that I mentioned, soy products, pulses, which includes lentils, beans, peas, and chickpeas, and nuts, they're actually not consumed at a very high, at high levels. It's actually very, very low. There's actually 3% of Canadians consume soy on any given day. 13% of Canadians consume pulses on any given day. This is very, very low, and I think there's definitely room in the diet to include these sources, of these foods that I just mentioned. In addition, I'm not saying to replace all of your animal protein. I'm saying even making a partial replacement every single week, for some of your days in the week, I think it can help better manage your health, and I think it also helps with protection of the environment by reducing your carbon footprint. It helps with protecting the welfare of animals, and you're also saving a bit of money. It's economical and cheaper to consume plant protein sources in comparison to animal protein. So these are things that I hope people can take away, and I'm not saying don't eat animal protein, but I'm saying, you know, be more mindful of the things that you're consuming, and, you know, even if you make the effort to just replace some of your animal protein sources, I think it's a win-win-win for everyone.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And everyone should be eating more plant-sourced foods today. It's just, you know, the more variety you have in your diet, the healthier you're going to be anyway. So there you go. Listen, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm really glad that you guys invited me out, and I'm glad to share my research findings, and hopefully it's been pretty clear and understandable, and I've been explaining things properly to everyone.
Yeah, no, you did a good job. Very, very good job. And we hope to have you back next time you publish another paper.
Thank you.
All right, take care. All right, so we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more Super Human Radio. I want to talk to you about your microbiome when we come back from the break. Stay tuned.
Not all so-called deodorants are the same. Only Goodness Inside deodorant is a multi-benefit deodorant that's not only free of aluminum and toxins, but provides the body with nutrients it needs, like magnesium, pure dead sea salts, minerals, and vitamins.
I am a big fan of Only Goodness Inside, the MGDO Healthy Deodorant. I'm a businesswoman. I have to dress up at work. It goes on smooth, it dries quickly, and it never gets on my clothes.
Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Only Goodness Inside banner ad to save 25% off your order today.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date, now available in 2 great tasting flavors, tropic fruit and raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm.
Vitalform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back. So, we've been doing shows about the microbes that live inside of us for I don't remember how long now. The microbiome continues to be a really exciting area of not only just research, but opportunity. There are people out there who can't lose body fat. It could be because of the microbes in their gut. There are people out there who have disorders. It could be because of the microbes in their gut. The things that you do on a day-in, day-out basis affect them. We know that dietary changes can actually alter the diversity of these microbes. We know that exercise can alter the diversity of these microbes. We know that warm climates, cold climates, all these things have an effect on the microbes in your gut. And I know that everybody in this audience knows this. We all talk about, oh, the microbiome, the microbiome, the microbiome. But what do you know about your microbiome? Do you know how your microbiome compares to all this amazing scientific research? For instance, well, we talked about a couple years ago, L-Roteri reverses the aging in rats. And L-Roteri was a microbe that they had to, that found in mother's milk, and then they had to feed it to rats, and when they gave it to rats, they actually got younger. Do you have any of that in your gut? Is that why you're aging so well? Or is that why you're aging so poorly? Because you don't have any. Or how about the difference between the population of Bacteroidetes versus Firmicutes? One is going to make you fat. You won't be able to help it. Your body will want to store body fat and conserve energy. And the other one will make you lean. It will make you burn energy more efficiently. And you'll be one of those people that, oh, people always say, oh, well, he just has or she just has a fast metabolism. He or she can eat anything they want and they never get fat. This comes down to the bugs that live inside your gut. So do you know your own microbiome? Now, if you're like me, the answer is no. We're all fascinated by this research. We're all really interested in what this science is going to provide in the years and decades ahead as far as being able to perhaps reverse diseases and answer the questions about diabetes and obesity. But in the meantime, most of us are sitting in the dark. Well, it doesn't have to be that way. If you go to superhumanradio.com, there's a banner ad there for Ubiome. And now you can get your microbes in your gut sequenced. They actually sequence the DNA. They will tell you, give you an amazing printout of the diversity of your gut microbes so that you can understand if this is the reason you're having a hard time losing body fat. And then you can look for how to change that. You can look at how your exercise is changing the diversity of your gut. You could look at your diet. For the first time ever, you can have your gut microbes sequenced and know just what's standing in your way of optimal health. Now, a single kit is $89, but they have a gut time-lapse package that's out of this world. It's three sequences for $199. I think that's the best deal. Everyone gets 10% off the already discounted prices when you go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ubiome banner. You'll be given a coupon code. And you use that coupon code at checkout and save 10% off of any order at Ubiome. What are you waiting for? Don't you want to know how your gut microbes stack up against all the scientific research?
Wouldn't you love to find out that the reason you can't shed those last 15 pounds of body fat is because your gut microbes are standing in your way, and then you can do something about it? I mean, but right now, we talk about microbiome like it's a unicorn. You know, we know it's magical, but we don't know much about our own. We've never seen a unicorn. We've never seen our own microbiome. We don't know what's going on inside our bodies. This could potentially be the single most important test you could ever buy for yourself, and more importantly, for your children. We just did a show and talked about how early childhood exercise changes the gut microbes so that the child will be more resistant to developing type 2 diabetes and metabolic disorders later on in life. So this is a great opportunity for you to have your gut microbe DNA sequenced and your children's gut microbes DNA sequenced so that you can check it from time to time and see if what you've been doing is actually pushing you in the direction that you want to be pushed. Or is what you're doing actually backfiring? No more guessing. No more wondering, gee, why do I get so bloated when I eat these foods? I mean, all these questions can be answered once we understand what your gut microbes look like. Your own personal fingerprint, your own personal microbial fingerprint. It's an amazing opportunity. Superhumanradio.com, look for the banner ad for Ubiome. And if you know, I personally think the time lapse $199 for three tests is the best deal. It's a 25% discount off of the regular price. And then you get an additional 10% discount when you use the coupon code that you're given after clicking the Superhuman Radio banner ad that takes you to Ubiome's website. This is an exciting time, folks. And tests like this make it an exciting time. Never before. First of all, we only learned about the microbiome in the past 5, 6, 7, 8 years. I want to say it was 8 years ago that we started reading about it. But never before have you been able to test your own microbiome and determine what it looks like. And is it contributing to health or is it contributing to disease states? I mean, this is exciting. Check it out. Go to superhumanradio.com. Look for the Ubiome banner ad. Click it. You will get a coupon code upon clicking it. And then you continue on to the Ubiome website. And if you choose to buy, use that coupon code and save an additional 10% off their already low, low prices. So check that out. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how iron may be affecting Parkinson's disease. Stay tuned.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Michael's naturopathic programs feature synergistically complete targeted formulas that utilize the healing power of nature, nourish the specific systems, treat the whole person, and do no harm. They are designed to give results, like Michael's popular Adrenal Extra, known as Energy Support, which is ideal for people with stressful lifestyles. It contains nutrients that support energy processes in the body, complemented with herbs. Michael's naturopathic programs are available at local health food stores or on the web at michaelshealth.com.
The category killer is back. Mass Pro Synthogen, with results literally from workout one. You'll recover like you're a teenager again. If you've been pouring your heart out in the gym with little to nothing to show for it, you owe it to yourself to see the performance enhancing and cosmetic effects it can make almost immediately. One user said, "I wish I could have tried it sooner. I just ordered two more bottles." And another, "The overall single best bodybuilding supplement I have personally ever used." Visit CoachRobRegis.com or PredatorNutrition.com to learn more today. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Even for extraordinary people, it's all about motivation. Getting going and focusing is easier said than done. That's why people like you with big goals and bigger dreams are turning to Exact to feel motivation now. Exact delivers the breakthrough mental energy you crave and unleashes your creativity. Exact combines precise levels of six ingredients that greatly improves brain power and produces intensity. Many of our customers say Exact brings them instant gratification, making them feel happy, bright, and attentive. We say Exact delivers, guaranteed or your money back. Go to xactmind.com to get your trial pack absolutely free and experience life with the motivation, focus, and drive it takes to realize your potential.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. That's dreamy music. You know, Parkinson's disease is a special interest of mine because I lost my sister Valerie to Parkinson's disease a few years ago, and she struggled with the disease for many, many, many years. And it's very sad to see someone trapped in their own body like that. The next discussion is going to be the role of iron or excess iron and the connection between excess iron and Parkinson's disease. My guest is Dr. Julie Anderson. How you doing, Dr. Anderson?
Good, Carl. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. You're with the Buck Institute, correct?
That's right. So we're a nonprofit academic-style institute up in Marin County, Nevada, California, and we're the only freestanding institute in the U.S. today that devotes its mission to the study of aging and age-related diseases, including Parkinson's disease.
Okay. So what made you ask these questions? What led up to this particular research?
Well, even as a postdoctoral fellow at Harvard, I was very interested in Parkinson's disease and very interested in the underlying causes that drive loss of the midbrain dopamine-containing neurons, which really is responsible for the symptomology that you see, the loss of motor movement, what you describe very accurately as sort of being trapped inside of your body. One of the things that's our group and others had noted for a long time was that if you look in the brains of Parkinson's patients, they seem to have elevated levels of iron within this area of the brain that contains these dopamine neurons that correlates with loss of these neurons. A big question was always, was that really a cause? Was that really something that was driving the loss of those neurons? Or was it just something that occurred at the same time? Or in fact,
Was it a product of the loss of the cells?
Right.
So quite a while ago, like 12 years ago, we actually conducted a study with Ashley Bush, who was at Harvard at the time and is now at the University of Melbourne in Australia, to try to answer that question.
And so how was this particular study designed?
So basically, we were looking at a mouse model of Parkinson's disease where you see the same characteristic neuronal cell loss and, in fact, similar problems with motor function that you see in Parkinsonian patients. And
now, were these transgenic rodents or were they given MPTP?
They were given MPTP, although we've gone on to show this in other models of the disease.
Okay.
So, yeah, this is a neurotoxin model.
I learned about MPTP as a very, very young boy on the streets of Brooklyn. Back in the 60s, there was a terrible situation in New York where they were cutting heroin with what they thought was some innocuous powder. It turned out to be MPTP.
Right.
All the junkies were getting Parkinson's disease.
Right. And there was actually a very astute young clinician in San Francisco where this was occurring at the same time who realized that there was something that was in the heroin that was causing acute Parkinsonism. These kids were taking this heroin and they were ending up with acute Parkinson's disease where they couldn't move and so this clinician, Dr. Langston, was able to actually identify the compound that was involved and it is indeed MPTP.
Wow.
And MPTP actually crosses the blood-brain barrier and it gets converted in non-neuronal cells, astrocytes, it's kind of a protoxin that gets converted to a toxin within the astrocytes, and then it gets specifically taken up by a dopamine transporter into these dopaminergic neurons, and it causes death of those neurons.
Right.
And so it's been heavily studied. In fact, the earliest work that I did in the field, I was looking at an enzyme called monoamine oxidase, mm-hmm. which is actually the enzyme that's responsible for the conversion of MPTP, the protoxin, to the toxic form, which is called MPP+. So a lot of the early work I did was looking at that enzyme and looking at inhibitors of that enzyme.
The MAOI class of inhibitors. Interesting.
That's right, exactly, which was used for depression for a long time.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you took these rodents and you created a Parkinsonism situation with the MPTP. So then what did you
Right. And then we looked actually at a transgenic model. So it turns out that, of course, iron is one of these things which is, there's sort of a yin and a yang. Iron is required for a lot of biological functions, including DNA and RNA synthesis. In fact, it's required for synthesis of dopamine itself. There's an enzyme called tyrosine hydroxylase that requires iron that produces the dopamine in our bodies. However, so you need it, but if you have it in excess, it can be involved in redox reactions and produce excess oxidative stress,
right.
which we know is bad, and we know that increased oxidative stress is associated with Parkinson's disease. So it turns out that the way that our bodies have evolutionarily found to deal with that excess iron is to have iron bound up in a large protein called ferritin within the cells.
Right.
So ferritin's really there to bind up iron in a form where it's not available to participate in those redox reactions. So what we did was we created a transgenic model where we put tons of ferritin, we expressed large levels of ferritin within those dopamine cells. To bind up iron, to chelate iron in a way that it was no longer displaying a oxidative toxicity. And that turned out to be sufficient in the MPTP model, which also produces oxidative stress, just like in Parkinson's disease in humans, was sufficient to
prevent neuronal cell loss, the dopaminergic cell loss, and the motor dysfunction. And then with Ashley's lab, of course, this is wonderful in the sense that this tells us that iron is likely causatively involved in the disease, but it's difficult to introduce transgenes into humans. And of course, the next step was to try to identify pharmacological agents that would, in essence, have the same function as ferritin, as an iron chelator in the body. So we were fortunate that next door to our laboratory was the laboratory of Dr. Bush, who was looking at different metal chelators in the context of Alzheimer's disease, where iron is also considered to be a problem, excess iron. And he had a particular chelator called clioquinol, which is able to, you can inject it, and it crosses the blood-brain barrier and chelates up iron in the brain.
Wow.
And we, pardon me?
I said, wow, that sounds
wow. Well.
Because now yeah. You have something that can go out and go in there and kind
right.
of remove the excess iron.
That's right, yeah. And that also worked very well in terms of preventing Parkinson's disease in those animals. So since that period of time, of course, that was in 2003, and it garnered a very high publication in the journal Neuron, very respected journal, and the laboratories continued to have an interest in iron and to try to understand the mechanisms by which we end up with excess iron in the brain, because of course we need to be careful. I mean, iron chelation is probably not necessarily the best way to go about it, because iron's important for so many biological functions. So we want to kind of be able to tease down to have more subtle ways of trying to control the excess iron than just kind of, I mean, iron chelation is a bit of a hammer, sledgehammer, and we wanted to try to tease down to understand what was going on more so we could use something that was a little bit more subtle.
Well, okay, so let me kind of weave some things in here, and these should turn into questions. Okay, so I remember reading a study by a wonderful Italian researcher in, I want to say Toronto, probably 8 or 9 years ago, where she was infusing estradiol into the brains of ovariectomized rats while giving them MPTP, and then she had a control group, and the group that got estradiol and MPTP were able to withstand the development of Parkinson's-like symptoms for, I think it was 2 weeks, where the other ones became spontaneously showed the signs of Parkinsonism.
Parkinsonian,
yes.
Yeah.
And so I started doing some research in this area, found out that estradiol stimulates something on the cell called FAF, fibroblast activation factor, which is a quencher of inflammation. And so I thought that was the link between women and Parkinson's disease when they go through menopause, because men get Parkinson's disease at a much higher rate than women until women go through menopause, and then they catch up.
Right.
And so, what's the linkage between sex hormones, ferritin, and iron is the next question I have.
Yeah, so definitely hormones play a role. You're absolutely correct. It's Parkinson's disease is more prevalent in men than in women until the time of menopause. Conversely, Alzheimer's is more common in women than men. I mean, it's complicated because the estrogen actually not only estrogen in women's body not only interacts with receptors in the sex organs, but also in the brain. And there's actually a researcher down at USC named Christian Pike, who spent, along with others at USC, a lot of time trying to understand the roles of estrogen and testosterone in Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease. So there's a lot of, it's interesting, when I think about Parkinson's disease, I think about something which has several risk factors, and those include both genetic, and that can be either a familial gene, which if you have that mutation in that gene can drive Parkinson's disease, but those cases are pretty rare. It's only about 5%
of right. all of the cases, the rest are sporadic. And those I kind of think of as things that can be genetic susceptibility. For example, if you're a woman who has low estrogen levels genetically, that might make you more prone.
Right.
And then that's coupled with environmental factors, environmental exposures over the lifespan, which includes metals like iron. There's been several epidemiological studies that have been done that suggest that, breathing in metals, people who work as welders or
right.
miners
right.
are, more susceptible. And then, on top of that, there's age. So
yeah.
The older you are, the more likely it is. So it's kind of that triad of genes, environment, and the aging process.
I had an uncle on my father's side who developed Parkinson's disease and died when I was very young, and then my sister developed Parkinson's disease. Now I actually did a show 6 years ago with Dr. Michael Smith from Life Extension Foundation, where we explored this whole phenomenon of iron accumulation and cellular senescence.
Wonderful.
And so we're talking about the whole body now. Obviously, you're looking at specific areas of the brain. So at that time, that's when I started to go to Red Cross and donate blood. I donate blood every 2 to 3 months because I feel like I'm doing a couple things. I'm kind of giving my body what I would do for my car as an oil change. So I have some fresh blood. So I'm reducing all the toxins that build up in the blood, but I'm also reducing iron accumulation.
Yes, yeah. I mean, there is a school of thought that says that it is useful just for that purpose. It's interesting that you bring up cellular senescence, because that's something that we've become interested in the last 5 years or so, working with our colleague Judy Campisi at the Buck. We've been exploring the role of cellular senescence in the brain and how it impacts on Parkinson's disease. And in fact, we have a paper, our first joint publication out for review, where we actually show that in a paraquat model, and paraquat is another agent. Paraquat is used as a pesticide, and actually is one of the best examples of an environmental factor that's been tightly linked to Parkinson's disease. And this is work by Carly Tanner.
Recreational drug users get it the worst. When I was a kid, there was a whole big scare about if you smoked pot, you had to worry about it was sprayed with paraquat.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, now I'm listening to something. My God. You know, my mother took Valium and smoked. No, she took Librium and smoked during my pregnancy. I was exposed to all these other things. It's a wonder I'm still here and my brain still functions, to be honest with you. But I want to take a break, because when I come back, I want to talk about when we see this accumulation of iron in the brain, are we seeing it in other tissue in the body, or is it just the brain alone? Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Even for extraordinary people, it's all about motivation. Getting going and focusing is easier said than done. That's why people like you with big goals and bigger dreams are turning to Exact to feel motivation now. Exact delivers the breakthrough mental energy you crave and unleashes your creativity. Exact combines precise levels of 6 ingredients that greatly improves brain power and produces intensity. Many of our customers say Exact brings them instant gratification, making them feel happy, bright, and attentive. We say Exact delivers, guaranteed or your money back. Go to xactmind.com to get your trial pack absolutely free and experience life with the motivation, focus, and drive it takes to realize your potential.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's
world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
MadeByHemp.com sells the highest quality products derived from industrial hemp, raw oils high in CBD, tinctures, and salves. You can also get fashionable apparel made from industrial hemp at MadeByHemp.com. CBD is a constituent of industrial hemp that has no psychoactive properties, but has been shown to provide a variety of health benefits. Go to MadeByHemp.com today and take a look at all of our amazing products. Use the coupon code SHR to save 25% off your entire order. MadeByHemp.com, your one-stop shop for all things hemp on the web.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high-quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest Bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
From the makers of GLC 2000, now comes Actistatin Pro Athlete. The Actistatin formula gives you all four forms of glucosamine and chondroitin, plus Actistatin's triple patented delivery method to optimize cellular uptake and utilization of glucosamines, chondroitin, ascorbate, and manganese. Regenerate and maintain cartilage. Promote joint mobility and flexibility. Replenish lost collagen. Get 20% off your next order using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the GLC banner ad today. Push the limits. Feel the difference with Actistatin.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Julie Anderson. We're talking about the connection between excess iron and Parkinson's disease. So, Dr. Anderson, when we see this accumulation of iron in the brain, is it representative of what we see in the rest of the body, or is there something else going on in the brain?
So it turns out that actually you have exceptionally high levels of iron in the brain to begin with, and that probably is because the brain is the organ with probably the highest energy needs in the body. And interestingly, it is actually the area of the brain that undergoes degeneration in Parkinson's disease, the basal ganglia, that has the highest levels of iron. And that may be because those dopaminergic neurons are really, really metabolically active. In other words, they need a lot of energy and they need a lot of iron there in order to.
When you think about the entire body and and locomotion, and then you realize how small the substantia nigra is, which is where all of the impulses for all of those actions are coming from, that thing's got to be glowing when you're running or doing anything. I mean, it's just amazing.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty amazing that it's that very small part of the brain that's so important for moderating your voluntary movement, all the movements that you're making during exercise. Really, really high activity in that area of the brain, particularly during those processes.
So it makes sense that the brain has higher iron to begin with, but what you're seeing in your research is that that iron even becomes even higher to a greater degree than necessary, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it turns out that in all of us, because iron can get into the brain and it has a harder time getting out. So we do have this, everybody has sort of an age-related buildup of iron. But individuals with Parkinson's disease, and again, it's sort of probably based on this interaction between genes and environment, they may have lower levels of ferritin in the brain, and that compounded with higher levels of iron intake, and with age, that can drive iron levels. We actually did a study in 2007, again using a mouse model, looking at the impact of feeding iron to mice during the neonatal period, and we were given the mice amount of iron that's sort of equivalent to what is actually currently found in some iron fortified baby formula, and we were giving it at a period that was sort of equivalent to the first year of life, which in mice is like a 2 to 3 week period. Mm-hmm. And then we were looking when the mice were aged, which for a mouse is like 24 months of age.
Right.
And we found that the mouse that had been fed iron for a few weeks as a baby, as it were, those mice were more prone to developing Parkinson's disease in late life. It doesn't say that everyone who's exposed to iron and, you know, neonatally is going to end up with Parkinson's disease, but if you're genetically unfortunate, that's coupled with something that increases levels of sort of free iron in the brain, that can drive Parkinson's disease. So exposure and when you have the exposure is important as well.
Okay, so a couple questions. First of all, are there ways to increase ferritin naturally? Like, for instance, I know that the colostrum has ferritin in it, bovine colostrum, which I supplement with. And the other question is, a two-part question. We are, on this show, big fans of intermittent fasting. One of the things that happens during intermittent fasting is autophagy. Does autophagy do anything beneficial to rid the brain of excess iron?
Yeah, that's really interesting that you bring this up because, as I said, the lab's been very interested in understanding the mechanisms that are driving the high iron, and recently we published a study that came out just within the last week where we demonstrated that one of the things that happens with Parkinson's disease and a lot of other neurodegenerative diseases is an age-related loss in this process that you mentioned called autophagy. So I think of so autophagy as a process that's carried out by the lysosome. The lysosome is sort of, if you will, the garbage disposal of the cell. So you get a buildup of defective protein, buildup of defective organelles like mitochondria, and the lysosome takes those defective components of the cell in and chews them up to break them down to parts, which are then reused to synthesize new proteins and organelles. So it's kind of, as I said, like a recycling center. It takes some damaged components, breaks them up, and then the parts are used to make new components. And we discovered that when you mess up autophagy, that one of the effects of messing up autophagy is that you get an increase in iron within the cells. So iron within the cells can be stored inside of those lysosomes, and if the lysosomes aren't functioning properly, you get release out. You allow the iron to be accessible in a way that it can participate in oxidative stress reactions. So we think that and our research suggests that if you can increase autophagy in the cell, one of the good things about that, besides eliminating buildup of protein aggregates that can form things like Lewy bodies or plaques and tangles and Alzheimer's disease, that you can also get rid of the excess iron. And we actually have been screening for and have some potential drugs that we think may act as inducers of autophagy, and we're trying to move those forward into preclinical studies.
Okay, so most people who have neurological disorders also suffer from poor sleep, and it's hard to ascertain whether it's corollary or causative, because generally you don't see the people for their sleep problems. You only see them when they've developed these symptoms, and sleep is the least of their concern. We also know that the endoplasmic reticulum is responsible for sequencing amino acids into messages that are passed between cells, and fragmented sleep, and or short duration sleep has a tendency to cause the endoplasmic reticulum to misfold proteins. These are like messages, that have words that can't be understood, and they just travel around, and there is some theory that they contribute to plaque, that these plaques are actually these unwanted, it's like junk mail. You know, you get these things, you don't even ask for, you throw them in. So this plaque just, so what about the component of sleep, and iron buildup in the brain? Is there any relationship?
Yeah, there likely is. It's funny. So Parkinson's disease was first described in Western literature in the 1800s by Parkinson's. And of course, when autopsies were performed, because the loss of those midbrain dopamine cells is so obvious because they're melanized. Actually, the area of the brain, substantia nigra, means black substance. And those neurons contain melanin, so they're dark in appearance. And so when you look at sort of a Parkinsonian brain versus an age-matched control, you can physically see just at the autopsy level the loss of those neurons. And so for a long time, and it was also realized that those neurons were the ones that were, when lost, caused the motor symptoms. So for years and years and years, people were concentrating solely on those dopaminergic cells. But it turns out, we've realized in the last decade or so, that Parkinson's disease may be more systemic than that. Again, there's a school of thought that Parkinson's disease, the damage, the buildup of damaged proteins may actually start in enteric neurons in the gut. So a lot of times people with Parkinson's disease have premotor symptoms that include things like constipation. You can also have buildup of those plaques within neurons that innervate the heart. And so sometimes people with Parkinson's have some heart issues. And there's loss of olfaction as a premotor symptom that people have tried to capitalize on. There's a PSAT smell test to try to distinguish if somebody's had a loss of sense of smell. Mm-hmm. Of course, not everyone who loses sense of smell with age ends up with Parkinson's disease, but it's really interesting that something like 95% of people who end up with Parkinson's disease have had a loss of, well, premotor loss of sense of smell. So that then ties into the loss of REM sleep, which we also think that neurons that are involved in REM sleep and actually cognition can also be impacted by these plaque buildup in Parkinson's disease and other disorders. So it may be that it's a little bit more widespread than we originally thought. Right. Yeah, and that iron can play a role in the oxidative stress that can form those plaques.
Okay,
so
one last question, and then I want to ask you to summarize what you hope people take away from your research. Thymosin beta-4 is a protein peptide that is being shown to have some great benefits in the ischemic events like stroke and even heart attack. They can actually help the brain remodel, recollateralize, and look like it never had a stroke. You think there's any promise for thymosin beta-4's role in helping people with Parkinson's disease?
I think that actually, again, really interesting question there. This idea, so in general, I think we on the face of it tend to think, oh, aging, you know, you're having neural loss, everything is kind of downhill. But it does turn out there's a couple things that are associated with aging which actually can act to counter that. And one is that we have what's called a reserve capacity. So it actually turns out that you have many, many more neurons than you actually need to function, and you can actually lose quite a bit of those and still be able to function. And the other is something that is what you're referring to, which is basically a regenerative process where if a neuron, if there's a string of neurons that are conducting an electronic signal and one of the neurons in that line dies, the other neurons can move their connections around and hook up with other lines of neurons, so they can actually, it's called synaptic regeneration, synaptogenesis, where they can sort of rewire themselves. So I think drugs towards increasing the capacity for that to happen could be extremely useful in neurodegenerative disease.
When I die, I want to donate my brain and my body to science, because I have been undergoing my own kind of experiments. You know, I take 2 milligrams of thymosin beta-4 every single week. I also take 2 IUs of growth hormone a day prescribed by my doctor. And thymosin beta-4 acts by doing a couple things. It seems to promote stem cell differentiation, but also growth factors, vascular growth factors, neuronal growth factors, and it kind of acts like the job superintendent. Starts telling growth factors what to do and speeds up the process, and next thing you know, ischemic events are just disappear. And so I take it because of its a prophylactic effect. I'm thinking, well, if I take 2 milligrams a week, it's not enough to reverse any major damage, but I don't have major damage. I have wear and tear. I just want to kind of keep things moving,
right.
You know? So,
and that's sort of what, with Parkinson's, the need to identify premotor symptoms, like all of the things that I talked about, the constipation,
right.
Heart,
right.
Whatever. If we can do that, then we could treat patients prophylactically with drugs. I mean, I always sort of say we know in the mice, because we know they're going to get Parkinson's disease, we can actually prevent it, but in humans we really need to have that battery of tests so that people can start taking drugs prior to the damage occurring. I think that's really important.
What do you hope people take away from your research, both clinicians and lay people?
Well, I hope that it raises the issue of environmental exposure, including to metals, and how dangerous that is and how important it is, especially in the young, to try to be aware and prevent. And also with this most recent paper, that increasing the ability of cells to get rid of the garbage in the cells can actually spare those neurons from degenerating. So we're sort of onto a new class of drugs that we hope can prevent the disorder. So we're excited about that. And it all started with our iron work 12 years ago.
Excellent, excellent. Listen, thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
Take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned.
Something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest high protein potato chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date, now available in 2 great tasting flavors, tropic fruit and raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein, protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia. These bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Made by Hemp.com sells the highest quality products derived from industrial hemp, raw oils high in CBD, tinctures, and salves. You can also get fashionable apparel made from industrial hemp at madebyhemp.com. CBD is a constituent of industrial hemp that has no psychoactive properties, but has been shown to provide a variety of health benefits. Go to madebyhemp.com today and take a look at all of our amazing products. Use the coupon code SHR to save 25% off your entire order. Madebyhemp.com, your one-stop shop for all things hemp on the web.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back. Obviously, raising ferritin levels has to be a good thing, too, when you get ferritin from colostrum. Ferritin is in Thrive, a protein powder that mimics the protein component and micronutrients found in human breast milk. Those of you who tuned in late, I was talking about Ubiome. They're a sponsor, superhumanradio.com. If you go to the banner ad on our website, you can click it, and you can have your own microbiome DNA sequence so you know whether or not listen to this. With this last discussion about Parkinson's disease, it may start in the gut. These plaques may be being made in the gut. Well, you know what's making these things? The microbes in our guts. You've heard me say this on the show many, many times before. The microbes eat what we eat, and then they poop things out. And those things either contribute to health or detract from health. So knowing what kind of microbes you have in your gut is critical. And now you can. And you don't have to go to your doctor. You can do it in the convenience and privacy of your own home. Go to superhumanradio.com, click the Ubiome banner ad. You'll be taken to a page that will give you a coupon code. Then continue on, use that coupon code. In my humble opinion, the $199 package, which is 3 tests, 3 sequences, so that you can test at different points in the year to see if your diet and your training and your sleep and your supplementation are all doing what you expect them to do. I mean, it's not a mystery anymore. You can get your own microbiome DNA sequenced, and you don't have to go to your doctor. Your doctor probably won't even know what to do with it, quite frankly. You're smarter than your doctor when it comes to this kind of stuff. Everybody should be doing this. Elisa and I just sent off our kits. I can't wait to see what my gut looks like. It's got to be a 3-ring circus in there. But it's changing. I've gone completely keto since Thursday of last week. I've already dropped 3 pounds. I know it's water. I'm going to put some before and after. I'm going to put before pictures up today or tomorrow. I'm going to blog my progress. My goal is to diet down until my 58th birthday, which is June the 11th, and see how much body fat I can lose. I want to be in better shape than I was when I turned 50. When I turn 58, that's my goal. And I'm sticking to this ketogenic diet religiously. Zero carbs except the residual carbs that end up in certain foods. That's it. I'm probably, I know I'm well under 60 grams a day, and I'm probably closer to 30 grams a day of carbohydrates right now. And I don't feel so bad. And I'm not using caffeine to get through the day either, I'll tell you that. Okay, it's just the beginning of the week, and I hope that those of you who tune in live can tune in live the rest of the week. If not, don't forget to listen to the podcast. Share the podcast with your friends. Maybe you can save someone from suffering a disease, help them lose weight, help them become superhuman. What's wrong with that? See you tomorrow.